side when all sorrow has drifted away. I'll be standing at the portals when the gates open wide at the close of life's long, dreary day.
I'll meet you in the morning,
meet you in the morning
with a how do you do, and we'll
sit down by the river,
and with rapture
all acquaintance renew. Smiles that I wear,
when I
meet you in the morning,
meet
you in the morning,
in the city that is
city
built, I will meet you in the morning, in the sweet by and by, and exchange the old cross for a crown. There will be no disappointments, and nobody shall die
in that land where life's sun goeth down. Sit down by the river,
and with rapture
all acquaintance renew.
You'll
know me in the morning,
by the smiles that I wear,
when I meet you in the morning,
in the city that is
city built, I will meet you in the morning at the end of the way, on the streets of that city of gold, where we all can be together and be happy for a while the years and the ages shall roll.
I'll meet you in the morning, with a
how do you do,
and we'll
sit down by the river,
and with rapture
all acquaintance renew. Smiles that I wear,
when I
meet you in the morning,
in the city that is
city built for
much for that, and what a joy it is. And I know that song is a blessing to preacher last in all of us. And so we get time to get to the preaching time. And of course, most all of you know that preacher Lastly was the pastor here for 46 years, I believe from 1963 to 2009. And if you do a little quick math, assuming that he took a few Sundays off for this, that, or the other vacation, if he preached 48 Sunday mornings a year for those, that'd be a little over 2,200 sermons that you all heard if you've been the whole time. I know some of you have been. 2,200 Sunday morning sermons, not counting Sunday night and Wednesday night. And so he's preached many, many times. And but I know one thing about being a pastor. I certainly don't know it all. And I'm learning from him many things. I appreciate him. And after he pastored, then Brother Jody pastored for the next 9 or 10 years. And good men have filled the pulpit. But I'm learning from Preacher Lastly. And I thank the Lord for him. But one thing I know, if I don't know everything about preaching or pastoring, I know one thing, that you don't stay at this gig, if that's what it is, without a good wife. And there's been a lot of good men, and Preacher Lassie knows this, there have been a lot of good men that have been ruined by their wife. In the ministry, I'm talking about, and I suppose that's true everywhere else too. And it's been true the other way. There've been many, many men that have gotten their wife off track. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying in the pastoring issue, in the pastoring position, you don't just get one. The other's got to be full force behind, or else you just don't
that's
have
right.
much. So, Miss Lassie, thank you, and the church that's here, and the one that's over there, and the one that's over there by where y'all live, has gone on since those early days when you all came in the 60s, because you were supportive of him. And I know that usually the guy gets most of the recognition and all of that, but I know him well enough to know that he would be the first to say that without her, he'd have been out of here a long, long time ago.
That's true.
And
yes.
So. Amen. Did you hear that?
Well, I
guess his mic is
on.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and quit then. And so, lest he start.
I hope
over
she heard that too. Yeah.
Come on up.
Oops. Well, praise the Lord anyhow. Couldn't hardly get up and get to the pulpit. But I'm going to keep preaching till I die. So, the Lord called me to preach. He didn't put a date on it. So, well. Now, I'm going to preach this morning. All the good singing. I appreciate you being here. Appreciate my good wife the Lord gave me. I couldn't have made it without her. I'll say more about that in a few minutes. My children and grandchildren, this has been a blessing. God was good to us in many, many ways, given good family and good church. And so, I better get to preaching here. So let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. How many of you brought your King James Version? Wave it a little bit. Wave it. That's a good sign. I had done that a long time. I used to do it a lot. I used to tell them, don't even slow down out in front of the church there. If you don't have a King James Version in your car. Psalm 21. Let's see. Psalm 23, excuse me. Psalm 23. This is one of the most beautiful literature in the English language or any language. I've preached through it many times. I like to go, and I'm sure you do too, Pastor. Just verse by verse. It's a tremendous. I want to read the first verse. And then the last verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And because the Lord was his shepherd, he could say all of those good things. And then a great conclusion in verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, thank you for this a good service this morning, all these friends that's come here today and our own people. Lord, I thank you for the good wife and good children you've given me, grandchildren. Lord, I've been good. I don't deserve all, but I'm thankful for. And Lord, just help me now. Thank you for giving me one more opportunity to brag on Jesus this morning. And just help me. Lord, I confess I can't do it without your help. So help me as I preach your precious, infallible, perfect book this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I want to naturally express my appreciation to Pastor Herdman, the people here at the church, for this 60th wedding anniversary. And all the things down through the years you've done for me. And I said, you know, I pastored here for 46 years, but I've lived in this community for 57 years, so this is my home. This is my home. And people they've asked me, have you ever had opportunity to leave this? And, well, first of all, sometimes they want to run me off. Well, I won't get on that. I won't get on that because I got to preach here today. But I needed, you know, every problem I ever had, I needed. You know what it did to me? Made me pray. Made me pray. And I mean, if you don't know how to pray and they're going to run you off and your wife is have two children went on the way, you'll learn to pray then, I'll guarantee you. But anyway, I want to express my appreciation for this, and I know my wife does too. I started to say, people ask me if I ever had an opportunity to leave this church and go somewhere else. Well, numbers of times people inquired. They found out I was so happy that most of them just gave up on me, wouldn't even ask me. But I remember one night over in the chapel, when we first got here, moved up from the old church up to the chapel there, that I preached on the prophecy on the second coming of the Lord. You know, this church knows well that I believe in premillennial return of Jesus in the sky for his church and 7 years tribulation. And then the millennial, he'll come back with his bride, the church. Isn't that wonderful? That we're going to come back with Jesus in the sky, come back to this church, and have a 1,000-year honeymoon, the church, with the Lord Jesus on this earth. Now, I preached that. And then five or six men from down at Maryville, I believe the church was, wanted to talk to me. I took them back, one of those back rooms back there. And they got to arguing as soon as they got in there. Some of them were strong premillennialists and some weren't. For some reason I can't understand, I never heard any more from them about that. They didn't want a premillennialist in their pulpit. Then old Brother Willard Talmud, I mean, he's one of the best friends I ever had. When he got saved and when they called him to Tennessee at New Baptist Church, he couldn't even read and write. But he was one of the greatest preachers in the country. And he'd always call up and say, Bud, how you doing? Where can you beat what you got? That's what he'd tell me. And Real Willard called me one time and wanted me to consider going up to. There's a church up between Detroit and Pontiac, a large church. And he said, pray about what the Lord. And finally, when he called me, he said, Bud, what have you made your mind up on? Where you? I said, Willard, I said, I'm not going to leave my hound dogs and my 12 or 14 fruit trees and go up on that asphalt jungle of Pontiac, Michigan. But anyway, I better get preaching here. Don't look at your watch now. You know I don't preach long, but I'm going to preach this sermon that the Lord wants me to preach this morning. And when Brother Herdman asked me to preach at this service, I wanted to preach on the second coming of Christ. I love to preach on, as you know, in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself, I like that, shall descend from heaven to shout, and on there in that verse. But I couldn't find that message anywhere, so I had to go. I went to, and then I thought, well, I like to preach on the new birth, so I pulled out four, five, six of my new birth sermons, and the Lord wouldn't let me preach any of those. But finally, I felt led of the Lord to give a testimony on the Lord's goodness to this old sinner saved by the grace of God down through the years. Look again at Psalm 23 here. Have I prayed? I was going to pray. Did I pray? Yeah, I guess I didn't. The Lord knows I had a prayerful heart anyway. But back in Psalm 23, in verse 1, because a psalmist could say, the Lord is my shepherd or my savior or my redeemer, he could say also in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I want to the Lord wants me to just simply give a testimony. Now, you've heard a lot of this before, but you're going to hear it again this morning. But the Lord's goodness and mercy has followed me for 88 years of my life. And the chorus says, the Lord is so good, he's so good to me. And so I would give a false testimony if I didn't just say the Lord has been good to me, better to me than I deserve. Now, so firstly, I better get in with my sermon here. He was good and merciful to me by letting me be born in America. Oh, and down in Saudi, Tennessee, around the old-time religion. And now we have problems in America, But the good old USA is by far the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And I've been to Russia and Ukraine and India and Thailand, other countries, but I was always glad to, when the plane touched down on American soil. Sometimes I'd feel like go back almost getting down and kissing the ground to be back into America. So I agree with those who say, love it or leave it. These protesters burning our cities down, they ought to go to Russia. They'd turn a machine gun on them, or China. And only in America where we have freedom. But I better not get on that. But let's see, I better get back on where I am. But I'm glad that I was born in the good old USA. And then secondly, I'm glad in the mercy and the goodness of the Lord, he saved me as a 13-year-old boy in an old-fashioned revival down in Oak Street Baptist Church in Soddy, Tennessee. You've heard me give some of it. Come up, get it one time. Then one person told me they could give my testimony better than I could probably. But you're going to get it again. Listen, if you don't have a good testimony, what are you doing in the pulpit? And as a 13-year-old boy, I was in the Boy Scouts, and I went with the Boy Scout, about 20, 25 of us boys, and we went to that revival, and we sat over on the left side, back sort of toward the back. And that night, the preacher preached hard and said, and in the invitation, he said, if you've been praying for somebody, go stand by them. Well, four or five people come over and stood by me, and I'd never seen anything like it. They were weeping, and I didn't know what's going on. I thought, if my mother's sitting over here, I could see her, and if she won't move, I'm not going to move. But finally, my mother came over, and I went down. By the way, I didn't go to there to get saved at all. It wasn't even on my mind. But in the providence of God, it was his timing for me to get saved. And there at a mourner's bench, on this side I got up and come down. Old Groomer Jed, a deacon from Oak Street Baptist Church, put his wonderful Christian man, put his arm around me and said, Gene, will you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior? And I said, yes. You know, that's all I did. And I left there saved and on my way to heaven. And I got, Mama woke Daddy up and told him Gene got saved tonight. And I went in to lay down on the bed, and the beautiful moon in the sky and the clouds around it. And I got the Holy Spirit when I got saved. I mean, if you're born of the Spirit, if you're saved. And I didn't, but I trusted Jesus. I'd heard about all the great truths of the Bible as a boy. And that night, when I said yes to Christ, he started a process in my heart many, many years ago. I looked up in the sky and saw that beautiful moon and the clouds around it. I thought, now the Holy Spirit did this. I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus would come back tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, let me just see where I am in my outline here. I'm going to preach. And then thirdly, in the mercy and goodness of God, it was in the mercy and goodness of God as a 15-year-old boy, my Sunday school teacher, Miss Jessie Lovelady, challenged her teens to read the Bible through. Now, all my people have heard me say this many times, but this, some of you newer ones, maybe you are not into this. If you're saved, you need to get in the Word of God every day and read this old Bible. I'll get you King James Version, but put that in right there too. And a Scofield reference too. That wouldn't hurt you. And so next to my salvation, that was the greatest thing that I've ever done, is read stuff. You say, well, I don't understand it. Well, I didn't understand it all either, but I read it anyway. But then every now and then, the Holy Spirit of God, the author of this book, would speak every now and then. The Holy Spirit would speak to my heart. And for 57 years, I've been here, read this book. I'm not bragging on it. I thank God for the privilege of reading this Bible through every year since I've been here. And And you say, but people, a lot of people want an experience with God. Listen to me, funeral experience with God, just first of all, get genuinely born again, and then get in, spend about an hour a day or so, whatever you can, in this precious old book. And the Holy Ghost, the author of this book, will every now and then will bless your heart as you read the Word of God. And you'll feel His wonderful presence. Well, let's move on. Big one. I'm making progress. I'll let you out sometime for supper tonight. But fourthly, I experienced the goodness and mercy of God when He began to laying on my heart between my junior and senior years of high school, somewhere along there, to preach the gospel. And I was captain of the football team there at Sonderdate High School. But I was shy and bashful. You wouldn't think of that about Preacher Lashley now, but I was. And I just couldn't see myself of ever getting, well, I'd still been running if I'd seen, had to get up in front of a crowd like this. But after graduation from Sonderdate High School, I had opportunity to go down and play football in Mississippi. And I thought I had a scholarship at the Jones County Junior College, but got there and found out I had to make the team. And so it was 95 to 102 and all those pads and helmet and everything on. And finally, the coach one day said, Soddy, call me Soddy. I got the nickname that Soddy on me. And she said, Soddy, you've made the team. So I started at left guard for 2 years in junior college, and then God gave me the opportunity. The Lord worked all this. I didn't have anything to do with it. Then they called me to come down and give me a scholarship to Southern Mississippi. And my junior year, started down there at left guard and played in the Sun Bowl. Then there at Southern Mississippi in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, you've heard this before, but I felt like just bragging on Jesus and telling you, this is how the mercy of God's followed me. The Lord woke me up at the dormitory one night during spring practice. This is about March of 53. And, well, that call of God on me. And I knew I couldn't get away from it. I was going to have to do something about it. Went up out on the golf course, got down on the golf course, and I said, Lord, the best I know how, I believe you're calling me to preach. And if I make the worst preacher that ever got behind the pulpit, I'm going to preach. And so praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And listen, one of the things, you know, let me say this. And I'm trying to hurry, but I'm going to try to help the pastor out right here too. Listen, you will never do a thing for the Lord till you surrender. I surrendered my life and God started working right then. And until you surrender your life to the Lord, first of all, get saved, then surrender. The Lord wants you to surrender to Him and willing to do His will. And so I told the Lord that now, if I'm going to preach regardless. And I left football after my junior year, went over to Bob Jones University. At Southern Miss, I had a full scholarship. Well, I did up at junior college too. But went over to Bob Jones. Had to work my way through school then. And I got on a work loan scholarship cleaning. You know, I went from the Sun Bowl on January the 1st to cleaning toilet bowls when I went over to Bob Jones University. The Lord needs to humble us every now and then. Every one of us needs humbling every now and then. And so let me get back my notes here. I'm wandering. I'm not the only preacher that wanders away from their notes, I guess. But I had clean restrooms and offices and sold shoes down at JCPenney. And then the summer, I'd hitchhike. It used to, you could hitchhike. And it wasn't dangerous. But today, it's suicide to get on the road hitchhiking. I mean, all these drug addicts. But anyway, I'd hitchhike up to Detroit, Indianapolis in the summer, and walk right in those automobile factories and get a job. And so when I left Bob Jones after 3 years, I just owed $300. Well, you can't do that. You can't walk. Listen, those plants are down over in China or India or down in Mexico. Our kid can't do that anymore. But I'm I'm glad after Bob Jones, I went out to preaching the gospel. And I've had the privilege of preaching God's word, this precious book, preacher, for 67 years. Oh, what a privilege it is. God's called you too, Pastor. And by the way, we love you here. We're glad God led you here. Oh, aren't you glad he led Brother Herdman here? Yes, yes. You ought to back him. And he can do the job. You back him. Well, let me move on here. Fifthly, in the Lord's goodness and mercy of God, he led me. I was still single. I had not graduated from Bob Jones. And I was still single, and he led me up to Illinois to be a Youth for Christ director. And Sterling and Dixon, Illinois. And I had 7 or 8 Bible clubs and rallies on Saturday night. And it was a great ministry. But as soon as I got up there, I was asked to preach at the Science Ridge Mennonite Church. And they moved their services from their church to a school because they had the auditorium tore up for Vacation Bible School graduation service that night. And Ellen was at home from her teaching at University of Illinois. And there she was after I preached on you must be born again. That's about the only thing I had to preach on then. And it's still a pretty good topic to preach on. But after I preached the morning service, then we went to Sunday school right after that. And there she was seated about 2 seats down from me. And the Mennonite Quarterly had the late date of Daniel. And that was pure liberalism. And we both spoke out against it. And the Sunday School Quarterly had Daniel historical rather than prophetical. See, that's what liberals are unbelievers. Because if you believe the Word of God, when it prophesies, God's prophesied coming in the future. Well, he knows the future as well as he knows the present. And so that's one of the reasons I've always been against liberalism. I don't care what it's in. I'm a conservative doctrinally, morally, spiritually, and biblically in every way. Well, there she was in that class. It wasn't long before I asked her for a date. And you know the rest of the story. It wasn't long before she proposed to me. She says, "Gene, you've told that so many times, I believe you're beginning to really believe that." And, well, listen to me. All joking aside, I couldn't have made it. Where are you, honey? Wave at me. Right here. I couldn't have made it in this church without a good wife. Sitting there right over here and behind me. And, I have to have the good presence of the Lord in my life. Any preacher does. And then also he needs a good wife behind him. And I've said many, many times, Dr. B.R. Lakin said, one time I was sitting right over here, and he said, the average preacher has ruined the day he got married. He looked down at me right over here and said, "Son, it made you." And everybody said, "Amen," right there. Well, then in conclusion, what time? Well, Gene, you're doing pretty good. I didn't give it to you till too late here. But I enjoyed all the singing and everything going on. I felt the presence of the Lord here this morning. I felt liberty to preach, preacher. That's good when the Lord gives a man liberty. And I felt liberty here this morning. And we've got a good preacher here too. Preaches a good message. I thank God for him. Now, back to Psalm. Look at Psalm 23 again. In verse 1, because the psalmist could say the Lord is my shepherd, my Savior, my Redeemer. Then down in verse, look at down. After, in verse 6, he could say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I can say he followed me all the days of my, in spite of my rascalness sometimes. I can say with the psalmist, I will dwell in the house of the Lord one day. One day, thank God. One day I will breathe my last breath. And you will too. I'm 88 years old now, and I don't know when it can be. But it doesn't bother me one bit because I got that settled a long time ago. It's good. I don't claim to be a great preacher, a great Christian, a great anything. But I know that I settled a long time ago. And I trusted Christ as my Savior. And one day, with these eyes, I'm going to just get to see Jesus in all of his glory. And I don't understand this. God's word said, we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. Isn't that wonderful? One day, my wife will tell you, I'm not like Jesus all the time. I try to be, but sometimes I slip up. But anyway, one day, I'm going to be like Jesus when I get a new body and a glorified body. One day your heart, I better wind up now. One day your heart will quit beating in your chest cavity. Everyone will. You'll be caught out to eternity. Can you say with the psalmist what the psalmist said? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't care how much money, what kind of car you've got, what kind of house you live in, what about your education. It's the greatest thing in the world is to say I'm saved. One day, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That you're on your way to heaven. It's the greatest thing you can say. Now, this morning, if you're not sure you're saved, there's a good spirit in this church tonight, this morning. And it'd be easy for you to, if you're not sure you're saved, some of these workers, we've got deacons and women here and pastors, we'll pray with you. And you can open your heart today. Just like I did as a 13-year-old boy. And he said, Gene, will you trust Christ? And I opened my heart to him that night. I didn't understand all about it. Still don't understand all about the Bible. But I knew that I needed to be saved. And I was going to die someday, and I want to go to heaven. And if that's your desire, don't leave here without letting us pray with you and open your heart. You can get on your knees just like I did, or we can stand and sit down if you can't get on your knees. And you can just open your heart and say, Jesus, come into my heart and save me. And walk out those doors on your way to heaven. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to give an invitation. It won't be long. But if you're not sure that if you die right now, you'd go to heaven. I'd instead of going out the back door, I'd come down to this altar here this morning. And we'll point you to Jesus. We won't try to make a Baptist out of it. We want you to get you saved first. That's most important, just get saved, become a Christian. By opening your heart, preacher don't understand all about it. You don't have to, just know that Jesus died for you. If you'll just say yes to him. I didn't know all about it when I got saved. I said yes to him. If you'll come say yes to Jesus, he'll come into your heart this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed now. How many of you say, preacher, I know that if I die right now, I'm on my way to heaven. Just hold up your hand. You know that for sure. Okay. Put your hand back down. Now, maybe there was somebody this morning that you couldn't say that. You say, preacher, but I, down deep, I'd really like to know right now, before I leave. I want to settle this thing. I want to settle it. The Lord has spoken to my heart. And I'd like to know that I'm on my way to heaven. Pray for me. Is anyone like that? Just slip your hand up. Slip your hand up high where I can't see it. Okay, God bless you, son. God bless you. You'll come down here. I saw one. Anyone else? Said, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. In the balcony. He can help me on this, preacher. Anyone, just raise your hand. I'll pray for you right now. If you're not sure. Then, okay, I believe I saw another hand over there. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Amen. The Lord wants to do something in both your hearts. But maybe there's Christians here. You need to come and get in this altar and do like this man is sitting in this building. I won't mention his name because I didn't ask permission to do it. But he said, years ago, I preached on full surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did. He made that full surrender. He'd got to liking the bus ministry. Brother Jack Moser asked him, said, would you be interested in praying about it? He said, I don't have to pray. The Lord's already laid it on my heart. But I don't know what God's will is for your life. But if you want to there ought to be Christians come to this altar and say, Lord, I want God's will for my life, whatever it is. So when the invitation is given, if you're not sure you're saved, come down. We're your friends. We don't want to hurt you. We want to help you. We want to help you. And if you're a Christian, the greatest thing you can do is make an absolute surrender of your will to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just play something softly with heads bowed and eyes closed. Just slip out of where you're sitting back there, this couple. Just slip out and let us come down this. Just slip out right now. Come down here. Yes. Come down. The Lord will save you if you want to make that blessed assurance. Come on. Or if you want to, yes, come on. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Others, come on. Do business with God. I want to make a full surrender of my life to the Lord. Whatever He wants me to do. But Judy. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Somebody else. Let the Lord have His way this morning. Let the Lord have His way. Anyone else? Pastor, I'll come to you.
As she continues to play and you Christians continue to pray that the Lord would work right now. And then if you've got something on the inside of you, say, Preacher, I don't know, there's something just squeezing me. Can I tell you what that is? That's just the Lord working on you. As Pastor or Preacher lastly said, you say, I don't know all about it. I don't know either. And if he hasn't learned it all in this year's being in the Word, then we're not going to figure it all out till we get to be with him. So you just need to act on what God's already revealed to you. Would you come? As these pray, you Christians pray that the Lord would work, that the Holy Spirit of God would move amongst anybody, everybody, right now. Let's just continue to pray as God is working. Would you, as she plays, you pray, Lord, would work in hearts of people. Father, thank you for a wonderful, wonderful day to be in your house, be under the preaching of your word. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to just come and fellowship together and honor a wonderful couple. Lord, we thank you for Preacher Miss Lastly. I thank you for Calvin and Tori and Lori and their families, dear Lord. And thank you for the blessings that they are to the people in their respective places. And Lord, it's just a joy to get to be around your people. Now I pray that you would bless our midst today. And Lord, may you be honored and glorified. And I pray if there's one or a few, dear Lord, that as Preacher Lastly gave testimony of when he came to Christ, salvation, if there's still one or several that don't have a time they can look back at and say, that's when I got Jesus as my Savior, I pray, dear Lord, they do it before it's eternally too late. And we'll thank you for all that goes on. Amen. Amen. Thank you. May look this way. And it is a joy to get to have the Lastly family. I got to meet him right before the service. Of course, Calvin and his wife from out in Colorado, and Tori from over here in Powell, Tennessee, and then Lori Lastly Long and her husband Joel from Pennsylvania, and their children here with them as well. And so it's a joy to get to meet them and look forward to some of them. I just got to meet all of them today, and one of them I didn't get to meet till right at the invitation time there. But thank you for being in church. Thank you for honoring us with your presence, and then thank you for honoring the Lastlys, and thank you, Preacher Miss Lastly, for being a wonderful testimony of faithfulness. There's a basket in the back that you can drop a card or a gift card or whatever in. It's on that black table. There are also, before you get to that, I was joking about earlier, before you get to that, the ushers have our offering buckets, and those are for you to partake of if you're here today as well and you feel so led. God bless you. Why don't you stand together? Thank you again for being with us. Preacher Lastly, thank you so much for the wonderful message. God bless you, and God bless you for being here. You're dismissed.